Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. Hey, you play football.
Coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Gentlemen of Steeler Nation, welcome back to another edition of the Steelers Final Score. I'm Jeff Hartman, editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, and joining me with me, as always, is contributor to BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, Chris Carter, not the Hall of Fame wide receiver. Chris, what's going on?
I'm hanging in there, Jeff, man. Just, you know, licking the wounds.
Absolutely, and if you haven't heard yet, or I'm sure you did, the Pittsburgh Steelers lose to the Baltimore Ravens 20-17 at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore, Maryland, driving their record to 9-6, and it couldn't have gone worse for Pittsburgh in terms of their playoff hopes. The Steelers, now 9-6, had to watch the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Cleveland Browns to move to 10-5, and the New York Jets beat the New England Patriots in overtime, which will then propel them above Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh does not really control their own destiny in terms of whether they get in or whether they don't. They're going to need a team to slip up, and it's not looking good for the Pittsburgh Steelers postseason hopes. We will get into all of that during this show. If you want to be a part of the show, call in. The phone number is 347-850-8581. Again, 347-850-8581. There's a lot to talk about, whether it was the first quarter decision to bypass the field goal by Mike Tomlin, or whether it was the offensive failures of the team, defensive letdowns, anything you want to talk about. If it's surrounding the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's fair game. Now, Chris, before we have any callers on the show, I just want to get your knee-jerk reaction. I always do this every Sunday or whenever we have a post-game show. What were your initial thoughts?
It came off to me as if the offense came in thinking that they were going to be able to do what they wanted. They ran the ball. I didn't like the way that they either used one extreme or the other formation. They were either all heavy or they were spreading them out with all receivers. You know, and I thought they did their best when they mixed it up, when they had a running back there, a tight end, and three receivers or four wide receivers and a running back. When you make the opponent's defense respect multiple facets of your offense because you're dangerous from all sides, then it opens up opportunities on each level. And they didn't do that enough. I think that they went they thought they were going to be able to do whatever they wanted against the Ravens, and they weren't able to. Ultimately, you know, people are going to try and say, you know, Mike Tomlin didn't get him ready for this game. But, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger looked like he was not able to read defenses out there. And we only scored 17 points against a game that gives up, a team that gives up almost 26 points a game. It was inexcusable on the part of the offense. People want to get mad at the defense. They didn't stop the run. I thought that they made things way too easy for Mallett. But Ben Roethlisberger, he needed to step up today, and he did not. And he on my winners and losers, he is the first loser on the list.
Yeah, unfortunately, Roethlisberger, his performance was not that great. He didn't seem as sharp. I almost questioned the offensive game plan. You kind of talked about that a little bit as well in terms of they thought they could just do whatever they wanted to and really didn't have to worry about anything. To be honest with you, they started off the game and they were doing exactly what they wanted. That was, they ran the ball at D'Angelo Williams. I mean, the guy had over 100 yards rushing. He scored 2 touchdowns. He had a tremendous game, I thought. It just came down to the fact that they didn't make plays when they had to. And that comes with defense, too. There were several third down opportunities, especially in the first half, where the defense couldn't get off the field. They were allowing the Ravens to basically do what, if you want to beat the Steelers and you want to keep their offense off the field, you do exactly what the Ravens did. You'll dink and dunk your way down the field. You'll take the first down. You don't need big plays. And you'll keep Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant off the field, and that's exactly what they did. It was a frustrating game to watch. And now I think people are just wondering what needs to happen for the Pittsburgh Steelers to possibly get in to the playoff picture. And it's going to come down to the Jets and the Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs next week play the Oakland Raiders in their final game, and that's at Arrowhead Stadium. The Jets play the Buffalo Bills at Buffalo. So if the Steelers beat the Browns, and what then?
No, but also, if Denver loses tonight or tomorrow night, then they have to win the next week to stay in it as well. They have to win to stay alive as well. Although the Bengals now don't have anything to play for, because, well, I guess they could still fight. They're still fighting for the bye as well, so they do have something to play for. But because the Steelers have the tiebreaker over the Broncos, if the Broncos lose their next two games and the Steelers end up tying them, then that would make it so that the Steelers would surpass them. The Chiefs would win the West, and the Steelers would sneak in at the sixth seed. If the Jets also don't lose.
Okay, but let's assuming that the Broncos are going to win one of their last two games, because they play the San Diego Chargers in Week 17. The only way Pittsburgh gets in, the Chiefs game means nothing now, because even if the Chiefs lose to the Raiders, they have the head-to-head victory over Pittsburgh. That would be their tiebreaker, and they would get into the playoffs. They have clinched the playoff spot, I believe. Now, the Jets, if they lose to the Buffalo Bills and Pittsburgh wins, Pittsburgh gets in as a sixth seed. If the Jets win, the Steelers will be on the outside looking in. And this could possibly be, I mean, you hate to label it one of the worst collapses of all time, but I would actually say that it would be up there, because you have gone into Cincinnati, beaten them, considered one of the better teams in the AFC. You have defeated the Denver Broncos in the number one defense at home the following week. And then you go into the 4-10 Baltimore Ravens, and you completely lay an egg. And now, this is one of the few times that I'm actually going to say that there is some credence to the Mike Tomlin letdown theory. I've never prescribed to it at all, saying that the player's got to play, and I understand that. But at the same time, it just seemed like for the last two games, the Steelers have been very late to make changes. They've been very late to adjust. And from a fan standpoint, and let's be honest, I'm as lame as they come, it is extremely frustrating. It's extremely frustrating to watch this team giving opponents leads, having to come back like that. And there's a lot of different factors that weigh into that as well. But, Chris, I wanted to ask you, we have a call waiting. Do you prescribe to the Mike Tomlin letdown theory, or do you think it's a bunch of malarkey?
Yeah, it's a bunch of malarkey. Cowher had letdown games. Even Noel had letdown games. If you look across the league, I mean, there's always going to be a game that this team should have won and that they didn't. I mean, the Patriots lost to the Eagles at home earlier this season to go on a 2-game losing streak. It was the letdown games happen. I think it's a thing with NFL in the NFL because, like we said, I think it was a week ago when we talked about the Broncos. These are all professionals. Every one of these guys earned their way to be at the top elite athletes in the world to get into this league. And when that happens, it is more difficult to always predict. I mean, there are great teams and good teams that can beat bad teams, but there's always that any given Sunday factor. And, yes, there are times when the Steelers play down to their opponents, but sometimes it's also their opponents play up to them because they know they're playing the Steelers. It seems to often happen. Ryan Mallett, a month or two ago when you saw him on the field, he couldn't complete wide open passes even when they were there against teams that were not even as good as the Steelers. Now this, after 12 days of working with this offense, he's sharper than anyone. It's crazy to think. And I know a lot of people, their first move is to blame Tomlin for everything that happens under the sun. And you know, you can give him some credit. You can give him some credit for not having the team ready. But all week, all you heard Tomlin say was, "This is not a trap game. Where we know that this team is going to play us tough." If anything, I would have to say that the offense looked unprepared. If anyone looked unprepared, it was the offense. And I'm not even sure if it was all a coaching standpoint. Ben looked like he did not know what the Ravens were bringing to him. Every time the ball was snapped, he did not look like he was reading what they were giving him. Too often, it looked like he was trying to make the play after the snap instead of before the snap. And I think when you do that, that's when you get the old Roethlisberger. When you don't have the old defense that was with the old Roethlisberger, that causes problems, and that's what happened today. The defense, people want to get mad at the defense. They didn't stop the run. They gave up 121 yards on the ground, which is unacceptable and something that we talked about on our website earlier this morning, saying the Steelers have to shut down the run and force the quarterback to beat them. But at the end of the day, they also only gave up 20 points to a team that averages giving up almost 26 points a game. And that's where I'm looking at. You know, Tomlin can't win the little games, because guess what? The Colts were a little game not too long ago, and the Steelers blew them out. But I think that was also because Ben was making the reads. He made the throws. And, you come into this game, whatever it was, he wasn't able to. So I try to look at every game one game at a time, and that's what I saw today.
Yeah, I mean, I partially agree with you, but, I mean, it just seemed like the team wasn't motivated. I mean, here you go, you're going into your division rival stadium with a chance to seal a win. Now, we learn now that, obviously, the Jets didn't lose to the Patriots as most expected, and they wouldn't have been able to secure a playoff spot this week anyways. But still, the way that they played is what's so frustrating to me. And I'm sure that I'm not the only one that's frustrated. We have some people that are waiting on the air. If you want to call in, 347-850-8581. Again, 347-850-8581. Let's get to our first caller. We have Vito. What's going on, buddy?
Gentlemen, how are you? A couple of
couldn't
key things.
Be
I mean, I think they played so hard last week that I think they just mentally they might have just been drained for this game, even though they want to come in there and give it 100%. I think last week just took so much out of them. Because look at that game, that had come from behind, a lot of excitement. And, you know, maybe they thought that this game wouldn't be as tough as it was because look at the team's record. But don't forget, Baltimore has been in a lot of games. I mean, a lot of the games they've lost by maybe a touchdown or less this year. And last week they looked good the first half, Baltimore, and they looked terrible the second half against Kansas City. Now, I'm just surprised Pittsburgh couldn't pick up the rhythm in the second half and do better. But to be honest with you guys, I don't think they deserve to be in the playoffs if they couldn't win today. Because if you can't beat a team that's 4-10, how do you expect to go up against other teams that are, you know, have a 10 or 11 win, you know, a season? You're just not ready. You're just not good enough. And, you know, we as Steelers fans have to say we're just not good enough. I mean, look, we won 5 out of 6. We should have been able to continue to keep winning. I mean, why is Kansas City able to be, what are they, on a 9-game win streak? How many games have they won straight? At least 8 or 9, Kansas City?
Yeah,
I think they're on 9 games.
I mean, guys, I have to say, as a Steelers fan, we don't deserve it. The other teams, I mean, look, Cam Newton lost today, but they've already won 14. Well, we have to admit, as Steelers fans, that we're just not good enough yet. We need to get better, and we need to work on our weaknesses. And you know, it's not an excuse for Ben to not be able to read a defense. I mean, he played against one of the best defenses last week and was able to put up over 20 points in the second half. I don't know what went on today, but just a lot of mistakes. And you guys, we have to admit as fans that they just don't deserve to be there. We don't. And for us to have to go into the final week and hope that something happens, we can't live our life on hopes. I mean, let's face it, we can't hope to pay our bills, right? We have to make things happen. And unfortunately, it is what it is. Last year, you know, we were more dominant down the stretch. I guess I don't get it. But, you know, we should have won the first game against the Ravens. That was the first game that we should have won, and we didn't. And unfortunately, this one's coming back to bite us in the butt. And this is the way it is, guys. I mean, it's tough loss. Can something happen next week where some teams lose and help us get in? Well, you first got to win, right? And we're not sure if we're going to win that game either. There's no guarantee of that. We could go in there and they could play their butts off and win too. So I just think that this game kind of gave you an idea and gave all the commentators an idea that, you know, maybe we're just not as good as we should be. I'll leave it at that.
Well, I'll go as far as saying that I think that the Pittsburgh Steelers are a team that is not complete. They have a high-powered offense, and they have a defense that is good enough to win games, But that's really relying on them getting a turnover, whether it's a fumble, whether it's an interception, it doesn't matter. But it's been stated already today, I know, on a couple media outlets that the Steelers are 0-4 when they don't get a turnover, and they didn't get one today. And that's because typically they give the offense an extra opportunity. You almost had the feeling like today if they would have had that extra opportunity, they probably would have at least gotten a field goal, which would have tied the game. Pittsburgh moved the ball, but this Steelers offense is unbelievable, but it's not going to turn out 30 points every game. That's a ridiculous number. They had done it the last six games, and certainly they could have against Baltimore, but there are some games where you hope the defense can somehow rise up. Now, the defense has done that on more than one occasion in 2015, but it's not a good enough defense like, say, in 2008 where you could say, all right, they're going to make a play. Like, you know they're going to make a play. I think this defense is more like, well, I hope they can make a play, and hopefully we can get a turnover. But at the same token, it's not a guarantee. And the Steelers were burned in multiple facets today, and that's what ultimately led to their demise. Chris, what do you think?
You know, I think it's a long shot to say that the Steelers aren't as good as these other teams because they just went back-to-back beating the two best defenses in the league. They've had the hardest schedule. They've had, I think more significant injuries than everybody. You know, they said the Ravens have the most players on IR, but, the Steelers, when they were in the heat of things, they lost Ben Roethlisberger, their backup quarterback, their third string quarterback, Le'Veon Bell, Marquise Pouncey still hasn't seen a down this year. This team has had to overcome so many odds to get to this point to be able to fight for it. Yes, they fell short today, but you know what? There's been several points this season where other teams have fell short and not had to deal with all the pitfalls that the Steelers have had to deal with. You know, did they get the job done today? No, and they didn't. I won't say that they deserve to win today. But I wouldn't say that we're not as good as these other teams because I'm pretty sure if we locked horns with the Bengals again, we would probably win. Just the same way that we beat them in their place by 13 points. But 2 weeks ago. The same thing goes with the Broncos. I'm confident we beat them if we play them. I'm not even, the way that New England's playing, I think they have a losing record over the past six games or five games. I'm not willing to say that this team couldn't go far in the playoffs just because they lost today and they had a down game. But I am going to say that I think that this shows when you need Ben Roethlisberger to be elite, he was not who he was supposed to be today. And that, again, people want to point here, point there, say the team wasn't motivated. I think there's some players that maybe that was the case. I think Antonio Brown was motivated. I think D'Angelo Williams was motivated. I know Heath Miller was motivated. I mean, Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, those guys, we saw them throughout the game. They were hustling and fighting and going out there. Mike Mitchell, they had to tell him to stay off the field because he kept getting hurt. And he was like, no, let me get back out there. I'm pretty sure these guys were motivated. What I think that happened was they thought maybe something was going to be a little too simple. And this, I'm speaking specifically on the offensive side of the ball. They thought that this was going to be a simpler attack for them, which is why they came out running the ball so much, and that their offense, their passing game was just going to be able to get into fix. But that's not what happened. In my opinion, the Steelers are a team that needs to come out gunning and to force you to respect that gunning and then let that open up the run game. But running to open up the pass, it's not something that has worked too much for the Steelers this season. It's been the other way around, in my opinion, at least, to get it open. So, I, again, not saying that this team doesn't deserve – to win today, but to say that they wouldn't be able to hang with the other playoff teams, I think that's a bit of a stretch.
Anything else, Vito, before I let you go?
Jeff?
Yeah.
I did have one more thing to add. If you look at the Jet game and the Patriots game, Patriots have had to overcome a lot of injuries. They didn't have a lot of his weapons on offense today, and yet they still battled and went into overtime. Why can't we do that? I mean, we have all our weapons. I mean, I know we have injuries,
yeah.
We've had to overcome things, but why can't we battle the way they battle? I mean, that went into an overtime game. We have all our weapons. He doesn't have his weapons, and he still had the ball with 30 seconds left, and he forced it to go to overtime. Why couldn't
we
do that?
You know,
I mean, we're a better offense right now.
To be honest with you, the Patriots had a fumble recovery, which was returned for a touchdown, which is 7 points there.
Yep.
So, I mean, they got that key turnover that the Steelers didn't. But, Vito, as always, we appreciate the phone call. I'm sure I'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Sorry, gentlemen.
All right, we'll get some more callers in the air here. We have 720-338. You're on with Jeff and Chris. Go ahead.
Hey, it's Tom from Denver. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Tom, what's going on?
I've been a Steelers fan since the 70s. I lived in Pittsburgh when they won the four Super Bowls with Terry Bradshaw. Now I'm out in Denver, and I lived in Pittsburgh actually when they won in 2000. Was it 2005? The Jerome Bettis thing. And I got to say that I am so – I mean, I read this, I think, on Post-Gazette that before this game they were six – they've lost six out of the last 10 games against sub-500 teams. So my question is – not even a question, it's more of a comment – is that you look at – if you look at those games and you kind of watch every game as they're going on, Roethlisberger and the – they look so lethargic when they go out against teams that are – they should – that are woefully bad and they should easily beat. The Ravens, this is the worst Ravens team as far as talent goes that they've played since Roethlisberger. It's a coaching issue. Tomlin cannot get his team up to play bad teams. Why has anybody addressed that with Tomlin? I mean, you can blame Roethlisberger. Yeah, he was terrible. But the rest of the team, it's just like they're on autopilot. They think they're going to win these games, and they go out and they look like they did today and have a horrible performance. And it's just, as a fan, it's like, I don't know, somebody can sit Tomlin down and say, listen, can you start coaching these guys up for crappy games? I mean, there's 60% of the time they lose to sub-500 teams. That's terrible. It's coaching.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, I'm not going to disagree completely with you. The numbers definitely don't lie. But at the same time, I think that, you know, if you would take a realistic approach to this as well, I mean, I can't blame Mike Tomlin for Roethlisberger throwing two really bad picks and potentially a third one that thankfully was called back due to a defensive offsides call. If the scheme is not well done, if the team is not motivated, and yes, I think you put the blame on Tomlin. And I wouldn't say that the team wasn't motivated today. And then again, I'm not in the locker room. I'm not on the sidelines. I'm watching like everyone else is. So it's very tough to gauge motivation, intensity, and stuff of that nature from a layman's perspective on the couch. But at the same time, I think that the players have to execute, you know. And James Harrison's the guy that says it all the time. You have to win your one-on-one matchups. And you didn't see the defense getting to the quarterback. They were not winning their one-on-one matchups. And it looked like it was tough sledding for the Steelers. Now, how much of that's on Tomlin? I'm not going to say it's all on him. Does he deserve some blame or some credit for the play? Absolutely. Does he deserve all of it? I don't think so. I think that coaching is important, but in the National Football League, professionals have to go out and they have to execute. They have to make plays. It's not Tomlin that's missing tackles like Will Allen does on every single occasion, seemingly, when he's one-on-one with, in the open field with a ball carrier. So I see what you're saying, and I definitely do agree with you to an extent, but not maybe to the extent that it's all his fault. Chris, what are your thoughts?
I mean, again, you come into this game, and I think you started off saying the right point. Roethlisberger comes out flat in a lot of these games. And, you know, I think this also happened when Cowher was the coach. You know, there were several times when Cowher would go thing. And also, when you're looking at the last 10 games, you bring up that statistic, consider that the last 10 games have also been in the years when the Steelers haven't been as strong. Like, how many games from 2013 to 2012 does that include? When the Steelers were not at their best, they were in that rebuilding phase from the being in three Super Bowls or two Super Bowls in 3 years. You know, there's a lot to calculate with that. But, you know, I again, you know, people want to overlook the fact that Ben threw two really bad passes, three when you count, you know, some of the other ones, not just the pick six in the end zone that got called back to the offside, but they dropped an early one. So he dropped another one when Ben missed a big one. So, you know, if there's one thing that I'm looking at Ben maybe not preparing as much to see what he has to take advantage of this week, because he may feel like, well, I just went up against the two best defenses in the league, and we put up 30 points on them. There's this team that hasn't had anything to do with it, and maybe he didn't. But if I would buy into the whole Tomlin theory, if he came out, he was out in the week saying, hey, we're looking forward to the playoffs. Hey, we want to see what the Patriots are doing. Hey, but there's none of that. They say we got to take care of the Ravens. We got to take care of the Jets last year when we lost to them. They come to this game thinking that. And in all of those games that we lose, it's because the offense doesn't get it done, because our elite quarterback doesn't step up to the plate. So if I look somewhere, that's where I look. Yes, there may be a coaching thing involved, and you got to look at him to say, like, you know, what answers can you draw from? But I'm not just going to say this is all on Tomlin and Tomlin can't get his team up for a bad game, because you know what? The Colts are a bad team this year, and they put up and blew out the stadium. The 30-9 Browns game that they had earlier in the season, you know, or the Niners game. There's several things that, you know, when people bring this up, I'm like, you know what? You don't take everything into account. But the one thing that I do think people need to look at is, let's look at the consistent quarterback play. And today it wasn't there. And if there's one person on the field that you had to point at, it's Ben because of the mistakes that he made. So that's where I take the whole
time. Another question I have is what are the if the Steelers win next week against the Browns, what's the playoff? I mean, what has to happen for them to make the playoffs?
They need the Jets to lose. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead, Chris. You can answer it.
No, I say they need the Jets to lose to the Bills. If that happens and the Steelers wins, they get in. What they would need is the Chiefs to lose and the Broncos to win. And actually, that wouldn't help us anymore, actually, because they won today. We would need the Broncos to either lose out or the Jets to lose against the Bills. So technically, we should be rooting for the Bengals on Monday night instead of the Broncos going to this game. But I think the biggest game is going to be Jets having something to play for against the Bills, maybe not.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, no problem.
No problem.
Thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it. All right. Let's see if we can get this next person on the air here. Phone lines are open, by the way. If you want to call in, you can, 347-850-8581. Again, 347-850-8581 is the number if you want to chime in here and talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. 646-355. You're on with Jeff and Chris. Go ahead.
Jeff and Chris, this is Bryce calling from Brooklyn now.
Bryce from Brooklyn.
Bryce,
what's good?
You sound like I feel right now, Bryce. Pretty down in the dumps.
Oh, man. You know what, guys? I'm listening to the call. I'm listening to the callers call in, and people are making some good points. I guess I'll first start defensively and then offensively. I'd love to just hear your thoughts. I think defensively, once again, you know, it's so funny. We talked about it before. We eyes on the outside linebackers. No rush, no sacks. Keith Butler. He rolls out Antoine Blake again, soft coverage. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Any NFL quarterback is going to be able to get the ball to these receivers down the seams once again, which is a consistent thing when we don't challenge receivers. So they continue to roll that defense out, and it continues to get beat. That's a coaching decision. I don't understand why they continue to do that. Blake continues to have the same problems, or I would say even Timmons and the linebackers, when that combination's on the field, they're giving up the ghost too much, and it's allowing quarterbacks to get into an easy rhythm. Any NFL quarterback worth their salt can be able to stand in the pocket when the outside guys aren't getting any pressure and throw the ball in those easy seams. And that came back to bite us once again. What do you guys think?
Well, the seam is where you're vulnerable, and I think that's what you're referring to. Chris, what are your thoughts? You're a defensive guy.
Well, one thing that I noticed on the defensive side, and you brought up the linebackers, but forget the pass. They look non-existent against the run. If they were, if they shut down the run and forced Mallett to have to be in more obvious passing situations consistently throughout the game, I'm pretty sure that they at least get one turnover. But they were just getting gashed by these guys. I mean, 121 yards from the ground to two running backs that you don't even know their name? I mean, come on. And when you look at the plays, McClendon's getting inside. Hayward's holding his ground or pushing a guy back in the field. Tua's coming across the line. But those three guys can't get it done by themselves. And the linebackers, they just seem like they weren't there. I mean, you know, I don't think I've ever put Timmons on a loser's list. But he looked out of position, as did Shazier. There were just several points where, especially the inside linebackers, the outside linebackers, I'll get to those in a second, Bryce, because you're absolutely right. They weren't able to fill any holes. They were leaving things wide open, no gap responsibility, and that's what killed us in the first game. I mean, there were times where that was back when Sean Spence was playing that the Ravens were able to say, okay, well, this hole's going to be open. We're going to run right here, and sure enough, no one covered that gap, and they just ran right through it. And when you break down those kind of fundamental mistakes, that gives a bad team a good chance to win. And then, like you said, on the outside linebackers, not too many one-on-one wins today as far as making things happen. I think the one of the best tackles I saw today was Robert Golden flying up to the line of scrimmage and making a tackle on the outside. But all in all, they didn't keep anyone inside of them too often. And even when they did, there wasn't any support on the inside to help them too often. And, you know, the lack of pressure on Mallett. There were too many times where he just dropped back. He looked super clean. I think the one sack we got was a Boykin blitz. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, but I think that was the only sack we got on the day. And sure, we had a few pressures or here and there, but that's a problem when you can't get pressure on a quarterback that if you get pressure on, he's pretty much going to be scrambling for his life and trying to make things up. That's what comes down to, and they weren't able to do that. Despite stepping up and getting to Brock Osweiler last week, in the second half. So defensively, yeah, I'm going to look at the linebackers, and on my winners and losers list, I got to put a lot of them on my losers list as well as the other players that we've talked about today.
Yeah, the linebackers, especially the outside linebacker play was really not good, It hasn't been good, to be honest with you. Arthur Moat is non-existent. Bud Dupree has certainly seemed like he hit the wall. And even James Harrison, the guy's 37 years old. He's not going to be able to get around the edge for the rest of his life. And Jarvis Jones, he had a batted pass today, but that was really the only time he made a play. In the last several games, he's basically non-existent. And for an organization that can seemingly do no wrong in terms of drafting wide receivers, they cannot draft an outside linebacker seemingly to save their life. And I don't understand why. But they've tried in the first, second rounds, the last I don't know how many years, and they just never seem to pan out. I think Dupree might break that mold, but at the same time, it's not looking good. Bryce, I know you have something else to say. What else you got for us?
Yeah, before I transition to the offense, just to piggyback off of what you said defensively, yeah, there are not enough playmakers on the defense for them to have to sit there and rely on, we got to get a turnover in order to be effective. You got to be able to play defense straight up, even if you don't
exactly
get a turnover, and cause havoc, cover receivers, run to the ball, stop people on third down. Ravens, 34 minutes time of possession with that team they fielded, that's unacceptable. That means you don't have the playmakers then to get off the field when you need to on a consistent basis. You're not going to win football like that. Now, transfer that over to the offense, when it goes from the top down. Like you said, they've had problems with these type of games in the past. So you gotta put some heat on Todd Haley. Todd, come out and play faster. Run the no huddle. You got the quarterback. He comes out. He's not playing well. What do you do to get him in the groove? Play tempo. Go faster. Get into the no huddle. Use the talent. Put them on their heels. Don't let them dictate the pace to us. When they've got 34 minutes of time of possession, like I said before, you need to get some momentum on your own. And football's a crazy thing with momentum. You can shift it. It was not a good job of feeling the momentum of the game, the pace of the game, and saying, look, let us run no huddle and get them on their heels. I should have done a lot more of that, and then allowing our receivers to kind of get into their space and not them kind of dictate the pace to us. That has to either be a Ben decision or a Todd decision, or Tomlin decision, where we're going to play more consistent no huddle, play up tempo, and kind of dictate the pace of them and get our quarterback back into a groove, because he just didn't have it after we needed it.
I'll say offensively, I think the Steelers are a team that their identity is slinging the ball around the yard, giving it to your best offensive weapons, and that's using Ben Roethlisberger, that's Marcus Wheaton. And if you saw in the first half of this game, they came out with a very run-heavy mentality, which I get. You want to make sure you establish the run. You want to take the heat off Roethlisberger. But at the same time, I definitely think Chris, you used a really, really good analogy when we were talking before the game. It's almost like having Steph Curry for the Golden State Warriors sit on the bench for three quarters and then put him in and expect to just drain three. You just aren't going to be able to do that. And Roethlisberger is human just like every other quarterback in the National Football League, which is, he needs to get into a rhythm. He needs to get used to seeing the defense. He needs to see what they're doing. And when you're running the football, it's pretty much, you know, you identify the possible blitzes, but you just let the play run out. You want to get the block and feel the play the way that you should, and that's about it. But other than that, I mean, it was frustrating. It was a frustrating loss on all three stages in terms of special teams. I don't really say special teams didn't really have a huge difference in it, but from coaching to the scheme and to offense and defense, just really, really frustrating. Chris, what are your thoughts?
Frustrating is exactly the word I'd use. Just so many things. And like when I use that analogy, it just reminded me of just times. I don't think the Warriors do that, but I've seen times where teams have sat a guy because they wanted to get him rest or whatever. And then in the fourth quarter, they're just like, hey, go in there and just make a bunch of three-pointers. And he can't do it because he's not in a rhythm. Or he does get hot at the last minute, and it's already too late. No, you need to get – if you have a baller, if you have a killer, you need to put the ball in his hands and let him work, not try to take the ball out of his hands. And whereas, yes, we were moving the ball on the ground. Every time we were moving on the ground, we were losing the time to set up stuff with Ben. We beat one of the best defenses in the league last week with no ground game last week. You know, you can't tell me that the Ravens secondary is any better than the Broncos. And yes, they were missing two safeties last week, but you can't tell me that these corners stack up to either of the corners of the Broncos. They don't. Jimmy Smith has been a joke to many offenses, you know, throughout his career. I'm looking at how in the world do you expect to come into a game and either run the ball out of a heavy formation where it's obvious you're going to run the ball, or spread the ball into a passing formation where it's obvious you're going to pass the ball, and then expect to get to trick somebody. You know what has killed, and we said this back in the beginning of the season, Jeff, back when we played the San Francisco 49ers coming into that game, we said the Steelers need to line up at every opportunity, have a running back there to scare them about the run, and spread their talented wide receivers out to say, oh, crap, we have to cover, because if we don't cover AB, he's losing. We don't cover Bryant, he's losing. Wheaton's the problem. He's the problem. You know, Hayward Bay even. There are times when that makes the most sense in the world, and it just didn't seem like they were doing it. Like, for example, on the play they got called, the pick six they got called back, there was no running back in the backfield. I get it. We believe in Ben Roethlisberger. And, you know, even though he would have made a lot of mistakes in that game, I did too. But in that situation, I'm like, at least let them know that, hey, we're thinking about running, so that a few running backs have to keep on it. When I started to get excited in the second half, there was a big run that Williams had, and you saw a fake reverse to Bryant, and one of the safeties flew with Bryant and left Williams all alone to gain yards up the middle. And that's what I was like, okay, and I think they got it, but they didn't. So then they went right back to what they've been killing themselves with. Ultimately, I'm of the opinion that I think that they came into this game thinking that they were just going to be able to have their way with the Ravens, and they could have, but they didn't jump out on them. They didn't come out trying to play them like they play any defense. They came out. I think they thought this was going to be a pushover, at least on the offensive side of the ball, and maybe what Ben was expecting, because we've seen where Ben can read plays and make amazing reads and amazing throws. And he made some amazing throws today, not too many. I think the Brown pass that they called back, which I thought was a touchdown, that was a great throw. But you need to have that consistently, like what he did against the Broncos last week. That last touchdown pass to Antonio Brown, the first touchdown pass to Antonio Brown, both were works of art. And we didn't see too much work in the art today. It was just pretty much like, hey, we gotta try and get this done. Let's get that. And you can't do that every week. You have to come out, know what the defense is going to try to take away from you, and attack that. So that's where my frustration lies.
Hey, guys, my last point, and I'll let you go because I know there are probably other callers. You know, I hate to say this, and I know we love our Steelers, but it just seems over these past few years, Baltimore's turned the tide on us, and they have our number. I feel the last three games they've outcoached us overall. I really do. I think they played to their strength. They stuck with their plan. I think their specialists put us in bad positions consistently. They're kicking us deep. We can't kick them deep, so we're always driving for 80 yards. Koch is always punting us and flipping the field. We can't kind of do the same. When we kick, they're starting at the 30, and then our defense is playing soft zone, so they're running the ball and getting yards. This has been a consistent team, and the Ravens have seemed, since we even since we beat them in 2010, we've beaten them in split a couple times, but they've swept us twice, beat us in the playoffs. They seem to, their coaches seem to get those guys in positions to win, and our coaches seem to get us in positions not to win the football game, to what Jeff was kind of talking about in terms of not running the no huddle, or even in the playoff game, it's not coming out and putting it in Ben's hands, it's running with Ben Tate. It's like they're always guessing right, we're always seem to be guessing wrong, and it really came back to bite us now and almost cost us a playoff spot here. We're in big trouble in terms of making it, so we got to figure that out and figure it out fast.
Absolutely, Bryson. As always, we thank you for the call, buddy.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you this week.
All right, man. All right, we have some other callers, but if you're on hold or if you want to call in, you can, 347-850-8581. Again, 347-850-8581. 479-259. You're on with Jeff and Chris. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Stu Fever here.
Hey, Fever. What's up, Fever?
I'm not feeling very feverish today, obviously.
I hear you.
But I guess my question is for you is, you know, we noticed over the last couple of years that Steelers, when they're better than a team, like they have a better team this year than the Ravens do. I don't say anybody can doubt that. But when we play against an inferior team, it seems like we come out flat with our heads all big, not wanting to play hard, tough-nosed football, and we have a game like today where it just looks like we're going through the motions versus actually playing football. And, you know, I was hoping the Steelers had gotten over that. I thought they'd done better about that this year. That's why I was wondering if they were going to do today, is come out and, you know, try to go for the juggler versus just showing up and thinking they're going to get the win handed to them. And, you know, I give them off for last week. Of course, Denver's a quality opponent. You know, I understand they came out a little flat last week, but they turned on the second half. You know, it's just like they – I don't know. I just don't get it. We're going to have to get over that if we ever actually want to be a contender, just beating the teams we should be beating. And so, anyway, that's my question. Do y'all have any solution to that problem?
Well, I think to answer your question, the ultimate goal for this team moving forward, whether they make the postseason or not, is consistency. And that's on offense, that's on defense, that's with the coaching staff, that's across the board. You know, obviously, when Roethlisberger was injured, that's a little different story based on the fact that you have an offense built around one player. But when he's on there, even if you look back against the Cincinnati game, you know, they needed an A.J. McCarron pick six to hit 30 points. The defense has been as inconsistent as can be. I think if you looked up the definition of inconsistency in the Webster's Dictionary, you'd see a picture of the Steelers' defense. I mean, they take away the football at a tremendous rate in one game. They struggle against an inferior opponent the next. I think that's the label of a quality championship-caliber team is being consistent. And that includes taking care of business with the teams that obviously you should beat. The 4-10 Ravens coming into Week 16 would be an example of that. You can go back into past years. I know it's been well-documented about the other teams that the Steelers should have beaten. But at the same time, they need to be consistent on every single level and every single phase if they want to be considered an actual championship-caliber team. So it's easier said than done. It's mentality. It's a style of play. It's an attitude. And the Steelers have shown that they have that at times, and they've had shown that they don't have that at times. So, Chris, what do you think about that whole identity crisis they're facing right now?
I think as far as their identity, they're a team that knows that they just got to get the job done to win the game. However it can get done, they know they got to get it done. And I think if you had asked me that 2 years ago, there might have been a question of, you know, oh, are we still the Pittsburgh Steelers? Are we trying to be defensively tough and run the ball? You know, that was a question years ago. But I think now it's, you know what, we know that we're a pass-first team. We know that we are a run-the-score-up-on-you team and hope that our defense can create turnovers. We know our identity. We saw that the past 2 weeks, and we've seen that throughout the past 3 weeks, but throughout the season. And even last season, we saw that was how – we beat teams. We know our identity. You know what we don't. You know what we don't know is we don't. I don't know what it takes to get your offense to be prepared or to come out and execute consistently against defenses that aren't that good. You know, I will say that, you know, when people talk about, you know, letdown games. You know, when talking about the first game against the Ravens, there are a lot of other factors into that. Josh Scobie missing two field goals. Michael Vick, you know, playing being his first game in the league. And though the Ravens did have their backup in today, you know, they had their preferred backup of choice, whereas the Steelers were working with a guy that they brought in just, you know, as an emergency because Gradkowski was out. You know, there's a lot of other factors that played into it. But this game particularly, you just saw a sort of just a Ben not being able to identify where the blitz was coming from. You saw him not be able to just make the right throws. I mean, the two interceptions he threw, they were just really bad. You know, the one was right into a linebacker's hand. The other one was just a misplaced throw against Antonio Brown. And Antonio Brown, I mean, he was getting open, and there were times he was missing open guys. And you saw a lot more of what you used to see of with him dumping down to D'Angelo Williams. And last year, that could work a lot because, you know what, Le'Veon Bell would catch those and go for 20, 30 yards. But you don't have him for that this year, and that's a problem. You take him out of that equation, and you know that you know you're dealing with. D'Angelo is a good running back, but he's not great like Bell in the things that he can do. When you know after he catches the ball, he's a straight line guy or a one cut guy, whereas Le'Veon Bell is a three fold cut guy. So I honestly think that you know if we're looking at the offense, you know we got to look at what were they prepared to deal with. And, you know, were they prepared to identify what the Ravens were doing and then attack what they were leaving open? And it honestly looked like they did not. So identity crisis, you know, I think the identity is that, you know, the only problem, that identity that we need to get with is, you know, that we need to be consistent. We have to come out against every opponent, know what they like to do and take and attack what they usually leave open. And today we didn't try to do that. We tried to run the ball down their throats, and, you know, that's cool. We got 100 yards and two touchdowns, but our offense, you know, otherwise didn't do anything because it didn't get in the rhythm that we wanted to get into. So that's where I go with that.
Anything else, Steven, before we let you go?
No, man, thanks. I just feel like it's an attitude thing, you know, with them. And somehow they're going to have to get over that attitude, and I don't have any explanations for it either. But,
it's tough.
Man. Can we still get in the playoffs? What we got to do to get in the playoffs now? Somebody's got to lose.
Well, we've got to hope that either the Jets lose or the Broncos lose on Monday night and in Week 17 against the Chargers. So the Jets losing to the Bills would probably be the easier road for the Steelers, and that's all based on them beating Cleveland, which after today, who knows? So that's the scenario at this point.
Yeah, I actually rooted for the New England Patriots for about 2 minutes. That was pretty short-lived.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks, guys. I'll talk to you later. Have a good one.
All right, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. All righty, yeah. Let's see if we can get to our next call on the air. If anyone else wants to call in, you can. The phone lines are still open. It's 347-850-8581. Again, it's 347-850-8581. 727-520. You're on with Jeff and Chris. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, as always, thanks for taking the call. First, for you, I have to apologize. I know being in Baltimore, this has to hurt a little more than it does everywhere else. I have to apologize, first and foremost, for any insinuation that I've ever made on the website or otherwise that the Steelers were a capable, possible two-seed. That's evident that, you know, we have a ways to go to get there. That said, like the previous caller, switched over to the New England Jets game at overtime, and I have to say that was the oddest coin toss since the 98 Thanksgiving game that I'd seen, and it's kind of ironic it was a Cleet Blakeman crew. I guess needing help, like you guys said previously, either a Bills win against the Jets or a combination of tomorrow night and San Diego Week 17. Agree, Buffalo is probably the easiest route, but given that we need help, things have changed a lot in the last, 24 hours. But I guess where I'm going with this is this game, to me, if we do get in, now if we don't get in, it's a double-edged sword there. But if we get in, the film could actually help us in a New England game. I mean, to me, this is kind of how the Patriots beat us week one, and having that on film, if we get in, what are your guys' thoughts on how that, again, like I say, bad situation because we didn't win, but this game actually representing what a potential New England playoff game could look like.
Well, I'll be honest with you, if the Steelers get in, and honestly, if I look at it right now, that's a gigantic if, because, yeah, the Buffalo Bills play an AFC East opponent in the New York Jets next week, and they would love to probably send them home and all that stuff. You have to question whether the Jets are going to lose that football game, and you certainly don't think that the odds are certainly on Pittsburgh's favor that the Broncos are going to lose their final two games, but if they get in, I still like the Steelers matching up against any team. I think that today's game was more of an aberration than it was a regularity. And if anything has proven that, it's the last 6 weeks where the team has looked markedly better on both offense and defense. Could it help the Steelers if they played the New England Patriots again? Sure, but I think that might have been Ben Roethlisberger or Mike Tomlin after the game today. His response was, "We can beat anyone in the league, and we can lose to anyone in the league." And that is the truth, not only for the Steelers, but really in the National Football League in 2015. I look at it and say, this Steelers team is great, but they can also be really, really bad. And then that's on offense with the interceptions by Roethlisberger, which just seem to be coming at the wrong times recently. And it's on the defense where bad tackling, poor fundamentals, it just leaves a lot of question marks. Do they beat anyone? They can lose anyone. Chris, what do you think?
I mean, you're absolutely right, Jeff. I'm a guy that, you know, when I try to look at the things that I do in my life, that whenever I don't get the job done that I was supposed to get done, and now I need to depend on someone else to make a mistake, that means that I knew that I needed to do something better. And for me to, you know, you can still hope for someone else's stuff to happen, you know, for something to come through to give you that second chance to prove yourself later in life, you know. That's cool to hope for that, but you know that to accomplish the goals that you want to accomplish, you have to get the job done, and that is not something that the Steelers did today. You know, they had the opportunity. We've known for about 4 or 5 weeks now that the Steelers could, if they won out, that the playoffs were there, and that if they were able to just beat the difficult team, they could go into these Ravens games. And the Ravens and the Browns game and say, like, all right, we know what their weaknesses are. It's a little tough, more difficult to identify what these winning team weaknesses are because they're winning all the time. But when you look at the Ravens, you know that they are not good against the pass. You know that they give up a lot of points. Let's get into our rhythm. Let's do what we do. And, you know, let's get that done. And when you look at it now, you're like, man, and now we got to depend on people. And, you know, like Tomlin said before, you know, if we, you know, we made our bed, so we got to lie in it, but we got to lie in it and do what we got to do to try and, you know, prepare our crops for the rain. Because if, you know, if so happens that the Bills pull off an amazing win next week against the Jets, which, again, any given Sunday, it can happen. If we lose to Cleveland, it doesn't matter. You know, we're out if we lose. But I'm all for trying to just go forward, beat the tar out of the Browns next week, and do everything we can. We should have done this week, but you know, for the Steelers, you got to put this loss behind you. But you know, when you look at that, when I looked at that Patriots game, and I saw that they decided to kick in overtime with Tom Brady at quarterback, that just seemed also but all too bizarre to me. And then when I just saw the Jets driving, I'm like, they're going to score a touchdown because this is just how everything works all the time. All the time, you know, the Patriots smoked so many teams this season, but the one time we needed them to keep us in pace, you know, it didn't come through. But that's just the signs of life. You know, you got to get the job done yourself. You can't rely on some other team, especially a team that you don't even like, to perform when you don't perform. So, let's root for the Bills next week. You know, after we root for ourselves, but you know, it's not something to be proud of to have to rely on that. But if they get in, the Steelers still would have earned their way in because they played enough. That means they would have went 10-6, and got in. So, so yeah, you know, I'm not all for it, but you know, we're here now. We gotta do.
Right. Well, I have one more quick caveat. Playoffstatus.com, they're pretty good. They update it in live time. Right now, they have us in red because we need help. The Jets are in green. They don't. However, they come up with it. They have the Jets at a 65% chance of advancing to the playoffs, the wild card round, and us at 38%. So, yeah, I can't say that I completely like those numbers, but if we were to finish 10-6 and miss seventh seed for 3 out of 4 years, or I guess seventh place, how would you guys feel about that this season?
Before I go about the season in itself, I think you'll see those numbers either rise or drop depending on the outcome of the Monday Night Football game. If the Denver Broncos lose, you might see Pittsburgh's chances go up a little bit. If they win, they're going to probably go down, as it's the only one way in if the Denver Broncos
win
on Monday night.
Right.
But nonetheless, if they're 10-6 and they beat the Browns and they're on the outside looking in, it's going to be a season that, regardless of the fact that you won 10 football games, the most season is enough to get you into the postseason. It's going to be a season of missed opportunities. And you look back at some of the games that you just really had to shake your head at, whether it's the Week 1 game against New England where Scobie misses crucial field goals, then in Week 4 against the Ravens where no reason, no way they should have won that football game, and yet whether the Scobie misses, Michael Vick not able to convert on fourth down on two separate occasions, you just shake your head and say, man, that's a game that can really come back and haunt this football team. And the same can be said against the Cincinnati Bengals in Week 7 where Le'Veon Bell goes down, the offense could do absolutely nothing, and it ended up in another loss. That's the way I would view it. Chris, what about you?
And Kansas City, yeah.
You know, as far as the things that we can expect, you know, it is very slim. You know, the percentages to me don't really matter. You know, that's just a number that someone came up with behind the books. What's going to determine if we can make it in is how the Bills come out, you know, with Rex Ryan, you know, coming up against the team that just got rid of him. You know, will he be motivated to beat them on their way out of the season? You know, after a big letdown for the Bills because they were one of the more hyped teams coming into this year, much like we were. But you know, it's one of those things where you just gotta we're gonna be looking at these games. I'd say the chances aren't good because in Pittsburgh I have befriended many Bills fans, and there was even a Bills bar that I used to go to. Ironically, it is now closed down. There was a Bills bar where I would go to watch their games before the Steelers games or vice versa to hang out with my friends, and they would be up like 13, 17, 20 points, and I wouldn't understand why they weren't happy. I'm like, why aren't you guys like celebrating or, you know, buying drinks? I'm like, man, you don't understand. You just don't understand, man. They would give up these huge leads, and just the craziest of mistakes would happen, and then they would just all leave there so sad. And I'll just be sitting there like, man, it is rough being a Bills fan. So that's what I'm worried about when I think about we got to rely on the Buffalo Bills to win a game. Now, I'm not sure if that's a home game or an away game. If it's home, that might help because Ralph Wilson Stadium is their own place. But that helps a little bit, you know, if at all. But you know, it's going to be a rough call relying on them. They're a hurt up team. Charles Clay was hurt this week, though. I think they did get the win this week. But you know, they're a hurt up team that is playing just for respect right now. And you know, besides all that, the Steelers can't even worry about that. They got to come out next week and not let what just happened to them this week happen to them next week. Because if they lose, if the Steelers do lose the next week, I will come on the air and say they do not deserve to make the playoffs, because that would be disgusting. After beating two of the better teams in the NFL and then flopping like that against the two of the lesser teams in the NFL. But I will say that, you know, if they come out and win next week, they at least give themselves a shot, and that's the only thing that they should be concerned about. As fans, you know, we're just going to have to wait and see what happens.
Hey, I agree, and I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it as always. Now, Chris, we're about to wrap things up here. final thoughts on this game for me. I'm just looking at the box score, which we haven't even had time to even look at. Just some statistics that were just absolutely stunning to me. Roethlisberger 24-34 for 215 yards, two interceptions, zero touchdowns, pitiful performance. D'Angelo Williams had a good day. Antonio Brown, 7-6, 7 for 61. D'Angelo Williams is your next highest receiving threat with 6 catches for 53 yards. Here's what's absolutely mind-boggling. Martavis Bryant, 1 catch for 6 yards. I mean, it seems like, I don't know if teams are now game planning for his skill set a little bit more, but he was targeted 3 times. He had a few drops, but that's just, it's just not acceptable. And then obviously you look down at the defensive side. Ryan Chizzi was all over the field, but no one was able to make the big play when it mattered the most. And that includes sacking the quarterback when Brandon Boykin was the only player to get to Ryan Mallett and had him sacked for a 9-yard loss. What are your final thoughts on the game, Chris, when you call it an evening?
You know, when you talk about Martavis Bryant, that's something that I have been concerned about the past few weeks. Even though he's had some big games, like last week, I thought he had a big game against the Broncos, despite not putting up a touchdown. He put up 87 yards on, like 8 catches or something like that. But when you looked at today, I mean, the one catch on the sideline, it looked like he just dropped it and didn't even think about it. Like, it was like, man, like, I understand you got to go back out there and make the next play, but damn, dude, like, go after it. he just dropped the key one. And then the even though he was on the third down pass of the final drive, he was interfered with. The dude grabbed his arm, pulled him back for a second, and it made it a more difficult catch. But it still hit his hand. He still had a shot to catch that ball. And if he catches that ball, you know, it's a whole different ball game. The Steelers are trying to score, and, you know, they get a chance to win the game. But he just didn't. And, you know, that was one of those things where, you know, it's like, you know, those are things that, you know, yes, he's a second-year player. Yes, we knew that he was raw coming into this league and that he was going to have problems. But if, you know, he said that he wants to be the best receiver on this team, you know, and that's considering that Antonio Brown's on this team, dude, you got to make those kind of plays. You know, when it's there in front of you, you better haul it in. You know, and those are the type of things. It's funny that, you know, that we used to see out of Mike Wallace, you know, who we were talking about earlier this week, and the mistake that he would make. He'd make big drops like that when, you know, just a little bit of interference or a little bit of intensity, and sometimes he just wouldn't make the play. So, you know, I'm looking at that. I'm looking at, like, we were talking about the linebackers. You know, I think Lawrence Timmons was not the factor that we needed him to be and the leader that we needed him to be. And, you know, before people had talked about the lack of leadership on this team, and I think that's a little silly when it comes to you look at some of the playmakers that are on this team. But when you talk about the linebackers, usually we have, like, a guy in the linebacker core that can rally everyone around him and say, defense, let's shut it down. You know, when it was Joey Porter, you know, when it was, you know, Greg Lloyd back in the day, or when it was James Ferrier, or when it was James Harrison. And, you know, it looks like it's still kind of James Harrison, even though he's not on the field all the time and he can't make the plays he used to make. But, you know, Lawrence Timmons, I think he's a silent leader, and it's good to have those kind of guys. It's good to have a guy that doesn't need to mouth off all the time to be the leader that he is. But we need to see someone be an enforcer out there. And there are times that people make hard-hitting plays and make big plays in the game. Ryan Shazier made a few last week. You know, but ultimately, you look at this and you're like, man, you know, we need someone to step up at that level, because I think the defensive line, Cameron Hayward is a leader. I think Stephon Tuitt, you know, he's certainly a playmaker. He kept us alive in certain positions. I think Steve McClendon's a solid veteran and one of the most underrated tackles in the league. But, you know, behind them, you know, Timmons has been a really, really good linebacker at times. But today, he was not, you know, in my opinion. And I got to look back at the film, and we'll be doing a lot of film room assessments this week to see what went wrong with the Steelers defense and the Steelers offense. But ultimately, I mean, there's a lot of question marks as far as, you know, who's gonna step up and lead the way. Because, you know, when you get one guy that falls down and can't carry the torch, someone got to pick it up. And it really seemed like no one was picking it up today, as far as the team. I will say the defense, they stepped up in the second half. They kept the game. They kept the team in the game. Ultimately, they only gave up 2 touchdowns in the day, which is about what we've been accustomed to with any team that we face. But the offense, it's supposed to be the best offense in the league, and we're supposed to be able to get it done. We didn't, and that's where I look at.
Absolutely. It's hard to disagree with that. It's a bummer for the Steelers and their fan base all over the globe as they watch their favorite football team lose control, and that's the biggest thing. And we always said that they still control their own destiny. You lose to the Ravens, and it's not just losing to the Ravens. To me, I could care less about the opponents, the fact that they might miss the playoffs. And even if they win next week at 10-6, that's what makes me the most angry. But nonetheless, it is what it is, and the Steelers can only control one thing next week. That's beating the Browns and hoping that one of two scenarios goes their way. And so everyone will be watching Monday Night Football to see if the Denver Broncos are victorious or if the Bengals. And I think that we'll definitely talk to you on Wednesday. The Behind the Steel Curtain podcast with Lance Williams, the standard is the standard, as we previewed that final week, which could be the last game of the 2015 regular season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But as always, if you don't, you should check BehindTheSteelCurtain.com for all your Pittsburgh Steelers needs. As Chris mentioned, we're going to have a lot of film room stuff coming up, as well as a great coverage and commentary from all areas of the black and gold realm that is Steeler Nation. We thank you for listening. Callers that called in, thanks for your time. Chris, as always, thank you for your time, and we'll see you next week after the Browns game on the Steelers Final Score. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.